Man, that's so good. Also appreciate our offertories, don't you? And our musicians do such a great job. Always enjoy them. And enjoyed this morning. I heard that there was 31 again in the little kids class doing children's church. I just feel for those ladies up there. Man, that's how many they had on Easter Sunday. I feel for them. Well, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. So, your pastor's a little fickle some time to time. And I told somebody tonight that I've been working on three different messages and I preached one of them this morning. And I just figured I'd preach the other one tonight. And I have one more that I have been working on. I just really feel led to go this direction tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading verse 25. And I don't know if you just call this a simple message tonight, but it is. Just a good reminder that we need to listen to God. We just need to listen. I was impressed. We went to the men's advance, and this is kind of where this is leading from. And one of the things that they were reminding us of is we live in such a fast-paced society, and here and there. And, you know, I'm constantly on the run, as all of you are, and sometimes when we sit down to read our Bibles, we sit down to pray, sometimes we never get still enough to really be able to hear from the Lord. And you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to think along these lines. That is God speaking to you, and do we listen to Him? And do we listen to Him? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For he that escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, as of the things that are made. So it tells you what those things were that are shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Just real simple tonight. Do we listen to God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love for us. And we just pray that you would help us tonight as we gather around your word. That you would encourage us. That you would remind us how we need to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be still and know that I am God. Do we listen to Him? Jesus, many times when He began to speak, would say, hear me, or hear, or listen. The prophets, many of the Old Testament prophets would say things like, give ear, O my people, to my law. Listen up, listen up. We need to listen up to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. James, in the book of James, says that we ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So we ought to hear what God has for us and we ought to do what He says that we should do. Why should we listen to Him? Why should we listen to God? Just three things, three practical things tonight. I think this will be a blessing and a help to you. This is not original with me. This is just was helpful to me. And I said, man, I need to give that to the church. It was good stuff. Ready? Number one. The reason why we need to listen to God is because He speaks for a limited time. God genuinely speaks for a limited time. We see this in verse 16 and 17. Let's look back at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. Now look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And we see the example here of Esau. And sometimes we don't maybe think this all the way through, and I think that's one of the things maybe I didn't think all the way through when it comes to Esau. So you have Isaac, the dad of Jacob and Esau. Everybody kind of remember the story? I don't want to go back and have to read it, but you can go back and read it sometime. But so Jacob and Esau, two brothers, seemed to always be in conflict with each other. And so Esau had went hunting, came back, was very tired, very, very tired, and needed something to eat. And Jacob said, okay, I'll give you some porridge, I'll give you some meat, if you will give me your birthright. And initially, when we think of the birthright in the Old Testament, when we think of the birthright for the Jew, it included the firstborn, included the inheritance, included a double inheritance, right? The firstborn had more responsibility in the inheritance and therefore got a double portion of the inheritance. But there's something even greater that Esau gave up, and he did so willingly. And that is, he gave up the firstborn's right to the Abrahamic promise. Everybody remember? Abraham was promised by God that through him there would be a great nation. Through his seed there would come a great nation. That through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham was promised that through him the Messiah would come. Galatians tells us the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Now understand, this is absolutely has to be true. Abraham, the gospel was preached unto him. He understood it. Right? Abraham believed God has counted him for righteousness. All right, so Abraham passed that on to Isaac. So Isaac understood not only the gospel, but he understood the promise that through him the Messiah would come one day. No doubt Isaac taught Esau and Jacob the same promise. When the time they were little kids, no doubt Isaac would sit there and tell them the story of Abraham and how God talked to Abraham and how God talked to Isaac. And God talked to him. God told him, through you the Messiah is going to come. Isaac understood that. And no doubt his two children did too. So when Esau comes in and says, I'm hungry, and Jacob says, sell me your birthright, he's not only giving up the firstborn's right of the double portion of the inheritance and all the things that go with that, but he also understands, listen, in his mind, he knows that he's also giving up this covenant, this birthright, this promise that God had given him, that through him the Messiah would come. Listen, he goes back to his dad. Remember, Isaac, Jacob fools his dad. Jacob and his mother fool the dad. Come in and Isaac gives the blessing of the firstborn to Jacob instead of Esau. And remember, Esau comes in and said, why did you do this? So forth and so on. Can't you bless me too? And Isaac said, I can't give you the same blessing. Your brother has it. And he went out and he wept. Esau, the New Testament tells us, Esau was an ungodly man. Esau was a fornicator and a profane man. That word profane means he put temporal in front of the spiritual. He did not even consider the spiritual. He was a man of the earth. He was an ungodly man. Because of his ungodliness, and through the process of time, he lost that birthright. God had spoke to Esau. Esau understood his birthright. But Esau didn't listen. He wasn't concerned with the spiritual. He's more concerned with his belly, more concerned with his fleshly appetites, and not concerned with the spiritual. And therefore, when he went back and tried to repent, God was no longer speaking. Let me just tell you, God speaks for a limited time. We think that we live in the age of grace. In fact, we're fixing to talk about that. The next point is going to be this. But listen, there is a time when God will stop. There is a time when God will, as Paul said, he didn't want to be put on a shelf. Right? He didn't want to be a castaway. He didn't want to be put on a shelf. There is a point in which a Christian can get to in which God would just simply pick you up and shelve you. Well, we need to be careful, don't we? We ought to listen to God. And Esau heard from God. And once he tried to go back, there was no going back. His dad couldn't give him another blessing. God may only speak to you for a limited time. And sometimes after he speaks, there's no going back to him again. And though we may shed tears, and though we may weep as Esau did, God sometimes speaks for a limited time. I've used this quote many times, but the evangelist Oliver B. Green, you ought to go look it up on the website, Google him. Oliver B. Green, you can go listen to him preach. A good old-time preacher. And he used to use that reference. If the phone's ringing, pick it up. He said, the phone's ringing, pick it up. He said, because God may not dial your number again. And listen, that's absolutely true. That's the principle we're learning here tonight. Yes, God. When God rings your number, when the telephone's ringing, pick it up then. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Pick it up and listen to God and what He has to say for you. Because there may come a time when He will not dial your number anymore. I feel this in my own heart. Listen, we can get to a point. You know how here in Texas, especially, the ice, when it gets cold on a pond or whatever, you know, the ice, that thin little layer forms, right? The one that you can go out there and barely step on and, you know, you throw rocks through or whatever. But if it stays cold long enough, another layer of ice will form, and another layer of ice will form. And y'all have heard the illustration. That's how our heart can become. You know, at first it's just a thin layer, as far as the spiritual is concerned, a thin layer, and it easily broke through by the Lord. But sometimes we allow our hearts to get colder and colder and colder, and the ice gets thicker and thicker, and there comes a point where there's no longer any conviction. Hello? There comes a point where the grass is so high, there's no more, it's going to take something other than a push mower to get it done. I'm telling you, there comes a point where God will step back. And boy, we need to be careful as Christians we don't get to that point. Esau had gotten to that point. Number two, not only does he speak for a limited time, but he speaks from a different place. It says there, look at verse 18, For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of the words, which the voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. If they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly quake, a fear and quake. But ye, plural, are come unto Mount Sion. So the other is talking about Mount Sinai. Now it says, we are come to Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I want to again just encourage you, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians, that we live in a much better economy than the Old Testament. We have it far better than they had it in the Old Testament. As we look here, we think about it. They came to Mount Sinai, and the Bible says there that God told them to purify themselves, and they purified themselves for 3 days. And God told them, "Hey, there's certain things you got to, you have to pay attention. You cannot touch the mountain." They built barricades around the mountain. The Bible says even if an animal was to touch the mountain, it was to be stoned, and thrust through, killed. And so as they sat there at the bottom of this mountain, the mountain began to quake, and a great cloud descended. There was thunderings and lightning and darkness. And the Bible says there at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel who had just came up out of Egypt and all these things, that they heard the voice of God like a trumpet. Like a trumpet. They heard the voice of God. And the Bible says that they were scared. And they said to this, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Basically saying to Moses, we don't want to hear the voice of God anymore. You go up and talk to Him. We don't want to hear it. They were scared. They were afraid. And that's what God intended. And God trumpeted out, thou shalt not kill. From them, they heard that like a trumpet. It was done in such this way to make them afraid. The Old Testament economy, the Old Testament covenant was basically this. Here's the law. Here's the commandments. Keep them or I will punish you. Here's the law. Keep it. I'll bless you. If you don't keep it, I will punish you. It's kind of like you think about just putting the thumb down on them. And the punishment was to withhold rain. The punishment was to famine in the land. The punishment. God said, you either do what I say or I will take you out. That's the Old Testament, right? That's that Old Testament economy. That's that Old Testament covenant that God had made with Israel. And because of their pride. They said, oh, we can keep the law. We can keep it. We'll do it, Lord. We'll obey. And of course, they couldn't do it. And God continually judged them. But I'm glad to tell you, He speaks from a different spot today. He's no longer speaking from Mount Sinai. He's speaking from Mount Zion, the city, the New Jerusalem. I'm so glad today that I have the grace of God in my life and the mercy of God, more so than they did in the Old Testament. They had some of that, but we have it distinctly, if you would. The New Covenant, the New Testament, the New Contract that God has made with us, the saved, and the church is of His. Listen, God no longer speaks from that dark and mountain, from that cloudy mountain, from the lightnings and the thunderings, and now He speaks to us from Mount Zion. He speaks from us from a different place. They feared, and God, the Old Testament involved fear. It involved fear as a motivation to keep the law. The Old Testament involved punishment in order to keep the law. The New Testament, Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, is about grace and mercy. Right? That we serve God without fear. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Well, that's not written in the Old Testament. Come boldly before the throne of grace. It doesn't mean we don't come to Him in reverence, and we'll cover that here in a moment. But come boldly before Him. We have an advocate with the Father. We have the mediator sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's speaking from a different place. He's our help. Aren't you glad of that today? Paul said it. Paul said this way. He said that you have it far more glorious than they had it in the Old Testament. Glad I'm in the New Testament. God speaking to us from a different spot. We're no longer under the thumb of God, but under grace. I'm so glad. By the way, and the Bible principle is this, that love is a greater motivator than fear. I want to encourage you parents, raising kids, love is a much better motivator than fear. Now, when they're small, like some of you sitting at the back in order to take your children out when they disrupt the service, fear is a great motivator. I mean, you have to do that. When a child is small, it is mostly about fear. It is mostly about mom and dad putting the fear of God in the child. I mean, that's just the way it is. Right? You know it's true. Taking the Board of Education, the seat of understanding, what needs to be done, and getting a child to sit still. When I was a little kid, my parents got into church when I was 2 years old. They put me in the nursery. And the nursery, it was a shotgun auditorium. You know what that means, right? It was just two rows, and it was just a very long auditorium. And the nursery was at the back, right? Just outside the front doors into the lobby. And so they put me in the nursery. My dad could hear me. He sat on the second row, and he could hear me crying in there. And he'd go back to the nursery, and he'd spank me, and he'd come back down. And then finally, when I turned three, they had to bring me out in the service, and Dad said he took me out three times a service to spank me, every service. I was so stubborn. I was the strong-willed child. And I would definitely tell you, when I was little, fear motivated me to mind my daddy. Fear motivated me to do what my dad said. But I can tell you today that love now motivates me to do what my dad says. And really, that transition happened somewhere around when I was a teenager, a little older as I transitioned into college. That fear went away, probably 15-ish, 14 or 15-ish. There was no longer. And I got bigger, number one, and didn't really fear the paddle anymore. But no, that I didn't need that anymore, because I loved my dad, because he had spent time with me and showed grace and mercy to me and all these things. And listen, our Heavenly Father comes from a different spot today. He loves you tonight. He cares for you. He's right there by your side. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Love is a much better motivator than fear. You can take a believer in Egypt or one of these other lands where they're persecuted in Saudi Arabia, maybe Lebanon or wherever. You take a believer who really truly loves God, they'll give their life for Him. Not because of fear, but because they love Him. We ought to give our life for Him. Present our bodies a living sacrifice for Him. Love is a much better motivator than fear. You get a lot more done without the whip. You get a lot more done with love. Right? God speaks from a different place. And I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad of that today. Thirdly, God speaks to us. God speaks to us. We see this here in verse 25 through 27. That those things which cannot be shaken. It goes on to say there's things that can be shaken. There are things that cannot be shaken. Those things which can be shaken, and it tells you what they are, of those things which are made. So, listen, our stuff that we have, those things can be shaken. Your house, it could be gone tomorrow. Did y'all see that? Somebody put on something I saw where those cars just, you know, were in a sinkhole and just disappeared. I mean, your car could be gone tomorrow. Now, all this stuff is just stuff. It could be shaken. But there's something, and it refers to this, there's something that cannot be shaken. And in the context here, the what cannot be shaken is the Word of God. The Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We hear from God through His Word. That cannot be shaken. The Bible says over and over and over again, it speaks of the Word of God being eternal. The Word of God that stands forever. The Word of God that is forever, forever, that changes not and so forth. Right? Everybody with me? The Word of God cannot be shaken. The Word of God is eternal. God speaks to us through His Word, His eternal Word. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is what? Settled in heaven. His Word is settled in heaven. It cannot be shaken. All this stuff here on earth can be. We've got to be careful as Christians to put all of our eggs in the basket of earthly things. That stuff's going to be burned up. We need to invest in eternity. And as we're sitting this morning in a service, and or we're listening tonight to some good music, and maybe you're in your car listening to some good music or listening to a message on the radio or whatever the case is, we need to listen to God. When you sit down in your devotional time, when you sit down in your family devotional time, we need to be still and hear from God. We need to hear from Him. My question tonight is He speaking to you? Is He speaking to you? Or has the ice become too hard? Is He speaking to you? Or has He stopped dialing your number? I'm telling you, sometimes He'll stop speaking to you. Well, I'm a Christian preacher. You can't say that. I'm telling you, sometimes He'll stop speaking to you. I don't have time to preach it. We preached it before, but the sin unto death, the Bible speaks of the New Testament, is not concerning the lost person. The sin of death in the New Testament is concerning the saved person. And there is a sin unto death. And you can cross a line. I'm not saying that's anybody here tonight. What I'm saying is when God speaks, listen. And when God speaks to you, do what He says. All of us need to learn from this. I don't always do what He says. I don't always listen as I should. And I think for me in the last few weeks, it's more than just Bible reading. I'm enjoying my devotions more this year than I've ever enjoyed them. But I don't want to just enjoy them. I want the Lord to speak to me. Lord, show me the wondrous things out of Thy law. Yeah, absolutely. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Absolutely. Lord, show me what You would have me to have. Lord, speak to me. Dial my number. I want it. And I want to pick the phone up and listen. God sometimes speaks for a limited time. Be very careful. God's speaking to us from a better place. I'm glad today I'm not living in the Old Testament. I don't fear the thunderbolt from heaven. Strike me down. Number three, I'm glad He speaks to us through His Word that cannot be shaken. That cannot be shaken. I do like I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. It's almost like he puts a little tagline on the end of it. In verse 28 and 29 he says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and what? Godly fear. For God is a consuming fire." It's almost like he says, hey, but remember. Remember. Be careful. God is a just God. And though in the New Testament He's showing us grace and mercy, I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I don't get what I deserve. But He's still a consuming fire. And we need to approach God with reverence, a godly and a godly fear, right? I tell you, that's lacking today. A lot of people just haphazardly approaching God. We need to approach Him with reverence and a godly fear. Godly fear. Is God speaking to you? And are you listening? Let's all stand.